We'll begin with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray to you in Jesus' name that your Holy Spirit will guide us as we meditate upon another precious, precious section of the Word which He's given us for our own comfort and the salvation of our souls. We pray that He will reveal the treasures which are hidden in it to us and strengthen our faith in your Son as we grow in grace and knowledge of Him. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 7, verses 54 to 60, Stephen fell asleep. And this morning we attend his funeral service. It has rightly been said that whenever the true word of God is preached and taught, it either saves men's souls or causes them to be angry. And so we read the text. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Cut to the heart. The word hit home real hard. But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Being full of the Holy Ghost. Right now, we are only partakers of the Spirit. But at the wedding day, we're going to be filled with the Spirit, made a fitting bride for Jesus Christ himself. And so now Stephen is filled with the Holy Ghost. And the words of Jesus come to mind. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And so godly Stephen looked up steadfastly into heaven, and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Before he was sitting at the right hand of God. Now he's standing at the right God of God. Why is he standing there? Because he's going to come quickly. That's why. Right hand, he was standing at the right hand. Right means power. The right hand is power. Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The words of Stephen again as we continue in the text. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Let's be clear about this. Stephen saw this, but the others did not. Stephen had eyes that could see. The others had eyes that could not see, just as they had ears that could not hear. So what he saw, they didn't see. They didn't have the slightest idea, but they reacted to it. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. Well, the Holy Spirit had stopped their ears a long time before this because they blasphemed him, that's why. But they stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses, here's a surprise, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Surprise, surprise. Saul was one of God's elect. Who would have guessed it? Who would have guessed it? He's the one that's going to write many of the epistles in the New Testament under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And the suffering that he caused Christians is going to come back to him in a godly way, because he's going to reap what he sowed. And he will suffer many things for Jesus' sake. But then it ends very, very quickly, and they stone Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, saying, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Three little words. He fell asleep. And so it's all over. Except it's not. When we read about the death of Stephen, we should remember the words of Psalm 116, verse 15. And these words read this way: "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." So, at the funeral and what preceded it, we certainly see Satan at work with all of his wicked ones. But we also see that the Heavenly Father is there. The Lord, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Let's remember that. There's a truth here, and the truth is that we should always pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit and understand Scripture in the context of which we find it. And what is the context here? What is it? Well, the context is that Stephen is the first martyr in what we call the New Testament church. The first one. And first occurrences are always very, very important. Not only first occurrences of words, but first occurrences of happenings. So, what are we getting at here? We're getting at this. Stephen is a representative person. He's a representative, he's a saint of God, and he's a representative of every saint of God. And so when we're looking at Stephen's story here and his history, we're looking at our own. And this is what's happening at the death of every saint. Sometimes you can see outward signs of it. There are times if you're at the deathbed of a saint of God, they simply fall asleep. They fall asleep. Very calm, a pleasant experience is going on. Their eyes are closed, but they see things that we don't, who are still alive. And they're at peace with God, covered with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And this happens to every single saint. Stephen's death happened to be, well, it wasn't a peaceful one, we know that. It was vicious. They gnashed upon him with their teeth, and they cursed him, and they killed him with stones. And we see Satan at work there But it's all under the control of God. Say, and then Stephen looked up into heaven and saw a vision. None of the others saw it, but he did. And it was a vision that is hard to even begin to imagine. He saw the Lord God on the throne of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, ready to come to us. He saw that. And none of the others saw it, but he did. And then he told them that, and behold, look what I see. I see Jesus up there. He's in all of his glory. They didn't see that. They didn't even want to see it. If they would have wanted to, they couldn't have anyway, because their eyes were closed. They had passed this to the point of no return. They had blasphemed the Holy Spirit, and God had left them. And so they had eyes that could not see, and they had ears that could not hear. And that was with them right to the very end. And there was no chance that they were going to repent here. They had passed that opportunity a long, long time ago. So what do we see? We see the devil in control of his people doing the worst he could do, and it turned out to be the greatest blessing that Stephen had had. He saw Jesus Christ. And then very peacefully, he fell asleep. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And being that this is the first recorded martyrdom of one of God's people in the New Testament, it's your story and mine. Stephen is a representative person, and what he experienced, we will experience. Not all the details, not the stoning, but we're being hated by the children of the devil, and we have been ever since we were born. God's elect are a very small remnant, and the devil has legions, and they hate Jesus Christ, and they hate his bride. But we also have the Holy Spirit. And that's what Stephen had. We should remember that the Heavenly Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are in full control of every single thing that happens in this world. I've got to remember that. The devil is doing his thing, but it's all under control of God. And the devil has been throwing punches for some 6,000 years, and he hasn't landed one yet. Oh, it looked like he did, but he didn't. The punches never land. They're all stopped by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And all things work together for those who love God. It's all under control. Let's remember that. There are examples in the volume of nature that show so clearly the complete control of God over everything. And recently, I got an email from a friend, and it was written by concerning Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, which reads this way, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk in it. When ye turn to the right hand, when ye turn to the left." In other words, a child of God is being guided by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit every second of his or her life. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you're being guided by God. And you may not even realize it, but there's a voice behind you with the Holy Spirit saying, go here, do this. And ahead of you, come here, do this. You don't hear it, but you're being guided by it. And the email gives an example of God's control of things from the volume of nature. And I'm going to read it. It's not very long. This is the season when migratory birds are winging their way toward warmer climates. What is it that prompts them to fly for hundreds of miles each year to the balmy southland and to return again in the springtime to the exact spot which they left in the autumn? For want of a better term, we call it instinct. One authority states that the word means inward impulse, a natural propensity that inclines animals to the actions that are essential to their existence and development. The authorities in charge of one of the oldest missions on the Pacific coast state that the swallows, which make their homes in the walls of this historic institution, migrate with utmost regularity. During a record of 68 years, it is said that they have never been one day late or early in their arrival to this mission. One press reporter affirms that for the first time in the known mission history, the swallows were several hours late in arriving. This was supposed to have been due to a storm at sea. So how can man doubt that there is an all-wise God that has placed within these tiny creatures such mysterious powers? It is only because of the taint of sin and deception of Satan that men do not obey a higher instinct and seek protection and rest under the shadow of the Almighty. I like to watch the swallow turn its face to the ocean and set fearlessly over the waters. If I had no other proof of lands beyond the sea, the instinct of the swallow would satisfy me. Well, we can all see examples in such a setting of nature where God is in control of everything. And the Son of God assures us that not even one sparrow falls to the ground without the Heavenly Father's leaving notice. And the swallows have the same protection. We have swallows that come into our barn every year, and it's within a day or two every single year. And they leave within a day or two every single year. When you walk out there in the evening and there can be 100 swallows in the barn, you walk out there in the morning and they're all gone. The birds, they tell us something. There's another one, a little email I got, and I'd like to end the sermon with this one. It's from Psalm 78, verse 13 and 53. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the waters to stand up as a heap. He led them on safely so that they feared not. And then 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Well, how can that happen? How could Stephen be so calm and collected when he was about to be stoned? And even when the stones were coming in, how could that happen? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what it is. He was now filled with the Holy Spirit. And he could be at ease, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And Stephen is finding that out. We will find it out too. He's a representative person. His story is our story. And then the poem, threatening breakers of destruction, doubts insidious under toll, shall not sink us, shall not drain us out to ocean depths of woe. For his promise shall sustain us. Praise the Lord, whose word is true. We shall not go down or under, for he saith, thou passest through. Have you noticed how many different times in Scripture that thought is given? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. We're not walking into the valley, and that's it. We're walking through the valley. Through the valley of the shadow of death. That's a precious, precious thought. And this is exactly what Stephen experienced. And thank God, you and I will experience the very same thing. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.